Let's open our Bibles tonight, going into the Revelation chapter 8. And last week, we rejoiced in the opening of this 8th chapter. And as we were so thankful, we are seeing the moment of the call of the bridal company, the moment of that first trump. We know that that first trump, by the way, is the voice of the archangel. We know that that is our precious Lord calling us, hallelujah, by his grace. Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. I love that in Song of Solomon. And by the grace of God, I'm ready to hear that. How about you? Amen? And not to get out of here. Not to get out of here. But to go unto him. It's not to leave the camp. It's to go unto him. And we're just so thankful. And we just are grateful to God. But as we opened this, we saw that heaven opens. And this is the seventh seal. But heaven opens in silence. And thank God we saw that the wife is united with her husband at last. Those that might not have heard last Wednesday night, I encourage you to go back and to listen to that. There's some very precious truth, I think, that the Lord brought out to us. Some things that I believe maybe another layer or two. Not saying they're just deeper, they're just him, you know. And I thank God for those glories that we get to see of him. But the wife united with her husband. And for a half an hour, there's a do not disturb sign. As we are so thankful, we saw that even in the Jewish wedding, there was no ceremony. We were encouraged in that. There was a contract. The contract's now. You accept that bridal message now. That's a marriage contract. Praise God. From that marriage, it was just a time that things needed to be readied. And then it would be the consummation. They needed to consummate the marriage. And that could be years later, whatever. But it was when everything was prepared and ready. But she was already his wife. That's why the wife hath made herself ready. Praise God. See, she dwells in that message. She loves that message. That is her life. It's her occupying. It's just what it is. Everything else is an after effect. And isn't that wonderful that you know that? I mean, thank the Lord. I mean, by his grace, you begin to live that. But then there's enlightened eyes of understanding that continue to go on and on and on and say, well, thank you, Jesus, for your faithfulness. I've been living that. And as he continues to show us light upon light in these things. So we thank God. So she's united with her husband. There's this quietness, this silence in heaven. And this is that marriage consummation. And if you're having trouble still with that, let's go over to Ephesians chapter 1. This is so mighty here in Ephesians 1. You know, some people think, oh, you know, you just kind of get a little bit fantasy in your thoughts and all of that. Let me tell you something. I could never even get to the heights of God's thoughts towards me, but he's bringing me there, and I want to go. How about you? But in Ephesians 1, 9, see, it says, even 8. I mean, we're going to get back to verse 1 here in a second, but let's just go to 8. It says, wherein he hath abounded towards us, in all wisdom and prudence. Now, this isn't just knowledge for our lives or things of that nature. This is the knowledge of him. This is that knowing, the knowing in the Word of God, that word know, which is the most intimate of knowledge between a husband and wife. This is this encouragement to us. And what was this wisdom and knowledge? It's having made known unto us the mystery of his will. And why? Having made known unto us the mystery of his will according, or the whole purpose of it, is for his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. It's just so incredible to think that he has made known to us, he's made known to me, he's made known to you, the knowledge of the mystery of his will. That's the bridal message. The mystery of his will is the bridal message. That was what was hidden. Ages past, the sons of men, the prophets wanted to look into it. But he said that the prophets were writing those things not for them. They were writing those things for us. That mystery was hidden, but praise be to God. Now we go into the Holy of Holies. Cherubim's been there all the time in type, and now she's there. Hallelujah. And this is so wonderful that he purposed this, knowing this knowing of the mystery of his will, the knowledge of the bridal message, he purposed that for the good pleasure of his will. See, he did that for himself. Not just for us, but for himself. See, this is God, and God wants to be pleased. And how is God pleased? By faith, amen? So how would God be pleased the most ultimately in our lives is by having the greatest faith. Matter of fact, in the Word of God, it's called the most holy faith. Holy, sanctified, set apart faith. Remember as we began tonight, I said, we are the crazies in the Word of God? You've really gone out too far, you know? No, you never go too far. It's believing the Word, amen? But this is what this sanctified is. So this plan, this bridal message, this wonderful proposal, this dispensation that was given to Brother Paul is for the purpose of the good pleasure of his will. And that infers that good pleasure of his will. If you look that up, again, you'll find the word benevolence. And benevolence is the gifts, the exchanging between a husband and a wife. If you also look at this too, it infers to the very ecstasy of God, his ecstasy. And you think about the height of what we know in this is the knowledge or the intimacy that we would have with a spouse. That height of ecstasy, that height of due benevolence. And that, again, is just a type of what will be in glory, which is beyond anything that we could ever imagine. Praise the Lord. It is. It's, well, he's over the top, but that's the Lord I know. How about you? Amen. Praise God. This is it. But now on to the, or more unveiling, I should say, of chapter 8. And I'm not going to be in any hurry to get through anything. We're just taking our time. We're going to have a little walk. Every Bible study, we're just going to have a walk. Amen? So there's no, we're not trying to get here or there. I just want to go where the Spirit goes. Amen? All right. So there we go. So just settle down. All right, let's go ahead and read verses 1 through 9. But I'm telling you, I don't know how far we'll get. And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer. And there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense, which came with the prayers of the saints, ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it into the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. Remember that. There were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. And the seven angels, which had the seven trumpets, prepared themselves to sound. We'll get into the first two trumpets here in reading. The first angel sounded, and there were followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth. And the third part of the trees was burnt up, all the green grass was burnt up. And the second angel sounded, and as it were a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea, and the third part of the sea became blood. And the third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died. And the third part of the ships were destroyed. So we've gone from the time of the coming of the Lord, the capturing away of the bride, and we start right in to the events of the tribulation. So what we have here is after that brief silence, we see right here that, I want to mention this. While we have that silence in heaven going on, and remember, that's silence in heaven, there is a major event that is simultaneously going on earth, and that is the Antichrist has come forth. Remember that back in the sixth chapter? That white horse, the one that was seen on the white horse, deceiving the world with his great words of peace, he conquers with great lies. Well, that will be going on at the same time of the silence, and then the trumpets will follow announcing the judgment that will take place. Now, I want to make note once again, and we read this some time ago, that the tribulation begins with the Antichrist getting Israel to enter into a 7-year peace agreement. Now, we've heard a lot of these peace agreements through the ages with Israel, haven't we? Time and time again, and this and that and all. But this one will sound so good, be presented so good, And if you go over to Daniel 9:27, I'll read it to you there. And in Daniel 9:27, it says, "And he," this is speaking of the Antichrist, "shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week." 1 week, that means that 7-year period of time. "And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate." So this is an exciting time, brothers and sisters, as we're going to read, God willing, some of the things tonight and get into it. But we're right here. We're right here. And these events that are coming forth are so mighty, so amazing, that I thank God we can have much sanctified vision. We can have sanctified thinking. But most of that, I'll just encourage you, keep between you and God. But let the Lord just encourage your heart. But it's going to be a time when they cry peace and plenty, and then it's going to be sudden destruction. And that is spoken of in 1 Thessalonians 5:3. And isn't that ironic in 1 Thessalonians 5:3? Remember how we rejoiced last week? See, we weren't made for wrath, were we? That wrath meaning the tribulation, you'll read of that in the 5th chapter of Thessalonians. See, God's people, he doesn't intend for us to go into the tribulation. He wouldn't have any of us go into there. That's how our God is. He wants everybody to be in the bride. Amen. That's why I said, I would that all men be saved and come to that full knowledge, that intimate knowledge of the truth. Amen. That's the bridal message. So that's for everybody. He is not a respecter of person. And the Word of God tells us very clearly, he that wills to know will know of this. So if we're having any difficulty or things like that, trust God. Say, Lord, I want to know. Amen. And praise the Lord. And that's what was such a sweet thing, to see Herbie all the time. Of all of his family members on that side of the family, pretty much all the rest of the family, he's the only one. But see, I'll have grace upon whom I'll have grace. You want this, man, I'll pour out all grace. See, they went after this and this and satisfied for this Christianity and that and all. But, you know, there was one that God said, you know what? That fella's got a fully purposed heart. Circled him out. Showed him the truth. He said, God said that. Well, I want that too. Boom, boom, boom. All the way to the bridal calling. Hallelujah. And he's just abiding like we are, waiting for him to call us home. Praise God. So, the brief silence we see in heaven. And now we see come forth, isn't this wonderful, these seven angels. So let's go back here. And it says there in verse 2, "And I saw the seven angels which stood," and this is so sweet, this word stood. This word stood, and they stood before God, right? It means still and immovable on the foundation. That word stood means still and immovable on the foundation. So let's get a picture here of a foundation, okay? And what stands still and immovable on a foundation? Well, I'll give you the answer. It's a pillar. Well, what did it tell about the Philadelphia saints? I'll make you pillars in the house of the Lord. So here we get this quick encouragement of, and we're going to go through many of these encouragements. I don't want us to be in any doubt, because God didn't want us to be in any doubt. And he's encouraging us tonight who these seven angels are. Each one of these companies, they're very important. They're just not listed out to read through and say, oh yeah, they're this and this, and we'll just kind of do a speed read. By the grace of God, let's know it. Amen. Let's be there before we get there. I love that. I love that. He lets me walk through this and see it. And my goodness, that's mine. And he shows it to me. And praise God, I'm walking through this. In the spirit, I'm walking through this. When I get there, by the grace of God, I'm going to know this. But then, the best part is, I got a body like unto his own glorious body. I'm going to enter into this. Amen. So, this is how we start. I saw the seven angels which stood before God. So that word stood, it shows these seven angels. They're those pillars, just like of the Church of Philadelphia back there in Revelation chapter 3. You can go back there and look at that. And to them were given the seven trumpets. All right. So the seven angels speaks of perfection, completion. So we have this, just this wonderful, perfected, completed company. Well, what did it say? That we would grow up into him in the fullness, the stature, and the measure of Christ. Amen. Grow up into him in all things. And how did that happen? Truth and love. Isn't that amazing? See, it wasn't just all truth. It wasn't all just spirit we were going to blow up. But it was that truth in love gospel. Line upon line and line upon line. And precept upon precept and precept upon precept. And faith cometh by love. I mean, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And faith worketh by love. We need that love, praise God. That love message for this faith to be really alive and percolating in our lives. We thank God for this. But here we go. And so these seven, as we see here, I'm just going to go ahead and tell you, this is another vision of the cherubim. This is the bridal company. Just like, again, the Bible sees Jesus as a lamb, as a shield, as a high tower in the word of God. You see him with he's the lamb, but then he's sitting on the throne with feet of brass. And then he's an angel, and all of these different visions. Well, same way with the bride, because she's like him. John is able to see these things and write them down in what he's seen, encouraged of the Spirit. But once again, this was not for John to know. John's place is as one of the 12 that will rule on the 12 thrones over the 12 tribes of Israel. Amen. So this entering in of this knowledge, praise be to God, this again, once again, written for us. For us. And we thank God for it. So let's get back over to Ezekiel chapter 1. And let's really get a great description so there is no doubt of who these seven angels are. So over in Ezekiel chapter 1, we're going to read about those precious cherubim and just a few of these wonderful traits. But in Ezekiel chapter 1, and let's go ahead and read verses 13 and 14. It said, and this is speaking of the cherubim, and again, Ezekiel is taken, he's given a vision, and he sees the four living creatures. You'll see that in the fifth verse. But I'm just giving you some of the things that are shown in this eighth chapter of Revelation of these seven angels that we can see very clearly that these are the four living creatures. The four living creatures, again, that we see, praise God, is the company in the fourth chapter of Revelation that, praise God, are in the midst of the throne, hallelujah, which is the bride of Christ, praise God. All right. So in verse 13, it says, as for the likeness of the living creatures, their appearance was like burning coals of fire, and like the appearance of lamps. It went up and down among the living creatures, and fire was bright, and out of the fire went forth lightning, and the living creatures ran and returned as the appearance of a flash of lightning. Well, what did we just read about these seven angels back here in Revelation chapter 8? If you saw there in verse 5, and it says, the angel took the censer, filled it with the fire of the altar, cast it into the earth, and there were voices and thunders and lightnings and an earthquake, and oh my, look what showed up, and the seven angels. There they are. Okay, so there's a description of what we're talking about here. This is how Ezekiel sees it. This is how John sees it. He's seeing the same company, and God's given him another vision of this company. Now, think of this. Let's go over to verse 24 of that same chapter of Ezekiel 1. And when they went, again, these four living ones, I heard the noise of their wings, like the noise of great waters, as the voice of the Almighty, the voice of speech as the noise of a host. When they stood, they let down their wings. If you go over to the 10th chapter of Ezekiel, just turn over there. And in the 5th verse of the 10th chapter, here's another description of those four living ones. And it says there in the 5th verse, and the sound of the cherubim's wings was heard even to the outer court, as the voice of the Almighty God when he speaks. So not only does she look like him, she sounds like him. Isn't that amazing? Now, let's think of what he sounds like. I believe in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 that when that trump sounds, it's actually his voice, is it not? Amen, it is. It's the voice of the archangel, it's the voice of our Lord, described as a trumpet. Why wouldn't the bride's voice be described as a trumpet? Isn't that wonderful? So you see that even the voice of these aren't actual trumpets. It's the voice of this company. It's the voice of these ones that will rule and reign with him. It's the voice of the bride. She's got a big voice. Amen. Because she's got his voice. Amen. That's her speech. That's everything about her. Again, think about what we pray for. Don't we pray for the Spirit to give us utterance? Amen. Isn't that truly what we seek? Don't we want to speak what the Spirit would give us? Don't we want to have that mind and that heart, praise God, that what would come forth out of our lips would be of the Spirit? Well, let me tell you something. This is the absolute completeness of it, the pinnacle, the Lamb's wife. And she, not only does she say the things he says, but she sounds like him. Hallelujah. I love that. Encourages my heart greatly. Now, go on back over there to Ezekiel chapter 1. And then look at that word in verse 13. We were just there. It says, as the likeness of the living creatures, their appearance was like burning coals of fire. If you look that up in the Hebrew, that means judgment. So that, again, their appearance was judgment, fire. Well, again, as we see right here, the angels prepared themselves, and when that one angel, when Jesus took that and threw that censer out, poured it forth, it was fire. It was burning. There's going to be, in Revelation 15, we'll probably get some references out of there tonight, but you'll see that that's that judgment, that fire. And praise be to God, that's who's going to be ruling and reigning jointly with Jesus Christ, is his wife, it's his bride. It's the four living ones. The four living ones seen in these seven angels, they're going to pour forth this judgment with him upon the world. And how exciting. And furthermore, that I know that these aren't angels that are judging the world, because let's go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I love how the Lord does this for us so that there's no doubt, that we don't have to guess, that we can walk assuredly with boldness and in large steps. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, listen to who judges here and who has been given this encouragement that will judge these things with him someday. Dare any of you, having a matter against a brother, go to law before the unjust and not before the saints? Do ye not know that the saints shall judge the world? Did you hear that? It didn't say the angels are going to judge the world. The saints will judge the world. And if the world shall be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know ye not that we shall judge angels? See, the angels ain't going to be judging. It's God's precious people. And specifically, and especially, it's going to be his bride. That's who's going to rule and reign jointly together with him. I want to take that. I want to treasure that. Not just take it, but as a treasure, because that's what he wants for me. That's the good pleasure of his will. Amen? I mean, that's what he did all of this for. To bring many sons to glory. And you look up that about the sons to glory. That's a mature sons. That's not a child thing. To glory. To be his glory. To be that, praise God, double portion to him. I love that double portion. Thinking of, as Jesus said to him, remember in Song of Solomon? My sister, my spouse. I love that. It's so amazing. My sister, my spouse. The bride to Jesus and the daughter-in-law to God, the Father. That's a double portion. Praise the Lord. I told you so many times. I was so thankful. I love my daddy so much. But I'll tell you one thing. My sweet wife, Polly, was a double portion of my dad. He loved her. And immediately, that's it. She was his. And I know she enjoyed that, and praise God. But what a type that God gives us when we pay attention to how much he loves us. Hallelujah. So, again, there's no doubt with these angels. They are the cherubim, who are the company that are known as the Lamb's wife, the bride. And she will reign jointly together with him, and she will pour out this judgment on the earth with him. Amen. And then we touched on this last week, but remember this. See, God, is he so good to us? And he's typed and shadowed so many things. And I mean, we could even go into Gideon and a lot of things with this about the trumpet judgments and stuff. But especially in Joshua, I love that. The Battle of Jericho. See, this was already typed out for us. See, Joshua led the people of Israel into the promised land. Amen. Into their promise, what God had promised them. Well, what is our promise? God has promised us in so many things, but we have a promise. There's going to be a tribulation and there's going to be a millennium. And he's going to bring us through this, and it's coming, that this ruling and reigning time is going to come. But in the battle of Jericho, when Joshua led them out of the wilderness and into the promise, as they were going into that promise, there was a battle that had to be fought. There was a battle that had to occur, and this was that battle of Jericho. And Joshua led the people of God from that wilderness into the promised land, just as Jesus will lead us into this tribulation and into the millennium, which will be the unveiling of our promise. And remember this, as Joshua entered in, and as they went to Jericho, and how God told them that they were going to do this, Joshua had those ones that were to blow the trumpets. And those ones that were to blow the trumpets weren't angels. The ones that were to blow the trumpets, and matter of fact, there were seven trumpets and seven priests. There were seven priests that were called to blow those trumpets. And think of this. The priest at that time was the highest ranking of the spiritual leaders that they had. The highest ranking, in a sense, of the spiritual leaders were going in there that would blow those trumpets as they would go around Jericho. Not the angels. And just as us, Jesus is leading us in, and it's not going to be the angels, it's going to be the bride, and she's the highest rank of spiritual leaders, which is going to blow those trumpets. Same difference. God's already given us that type. Praise the Lord. And we're thankful. And the walls fell down for Joshua, and when we blow those trumpets someday, oh my goodness, what destruction's going to be. And we'll read through it if the Lord tarry as we go into this, and as we'll go into that promise of the millennial reign of Christ Jesus on the throne. Oh my, what's it's going to be. So, then we go on, and we see this other angel, which is so very sweet, and we know this is Jesus, and that's the third verse, and another angel back in Revelation 8, and another angel came and stood at the altar having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. Now this is so sweet because this other angel that we see here with the bride. And I like this too, this I see this picture of the bride and the groom standing there before the altar too. But he is the altar, did you know that? Yeah, amen. Isn't that wonderful? He's just all in all. So he's there, here, and everywhere. He's just amazing. And that's the thing about our Lord. So then that's Christ Jesus is the altar. That's stated there in Hebrews 13:10. But there's another glory here, so many glories. But this golden censer in verse 3, we are. This is a Bible study, so we go through the Bible. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 9. So this golden censer that Jesus has, that has the prayers of all the saints. Isn't that interesting? All the saints there, those prayers. And let's read about this censer and what this censer is in verse 3 and 4. But this censer, praise God, was a very important part of the ceremony that would take place with the high priest as he would go into the Holy of Holies. And so let's read about this in Hebrews 9, verse 3. And after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all. So to kind of get a picture of this again, and I'm sure many of you have seen the tabernacle in the wilderness, the kind of the, you could kind of think of where you're sitting is like the outside courts in a way and all. And, you know, then you come to that place of the holies, which is that first part of the tent, maybe where I'm standing. But then there was that curtain there that took us in to the Holy of Holies. Praise God. So this is where we're talking about here is after the second veil. That was the second veil. Here we are, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna, Aaron's rod that budded, and the tables of the covenant. But I love this. And over it, the cherubims of glory, shadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot now speak particularly. Oh, I love this. Do you see that golden censer was even found in type? Praise God, all the way back then. In there with the ark and the cherubim, presence of God and the cherubim in the holiest of holies. I just think, you know, there's more proof upon proof upon proof of who these seven angels are. And I thank God for this. Christ Jesus with the golden censer with his bride. It was typed back then. And here she is now. And praise be to God. Encourage my heart, Lord, to take this place someday with you. So, these are the prayers of the saints. And you think about back in Revelation chapter 5. Let's go back over here to Revelation. Now think about how the Word of God says that we will rule and reign jointly together with Jesus Christ. He's going to have us fully participate in this encouragement of what is going on at this time in the tribulation throughout the millennium and all of that. And if you recall back in chapter 5 verse 8, it says, "And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints." Isn't that something? But you know what? She's doing that with him right now. That's not just going to happen over there, is it? Amen? We're praying with him right now. We're in accordance. Praise the Lord. We're praying, and I believe, by the grace of God, praying in the Holy Ghost. Amen? Amen. That's that prayer, that Holy Ghost prayer, that sanctified, set-apart prayer. And yes, that includes, again, speaking mysteries unto God in our language. But I'm even speaking of, you know, that prayer of groaning, that suffering together with him, that we really pray, Lord, strengthen me and strengthen my brethren, that we win Christ. This is what this is about, that we truly have the same heart, his heart, in prayer for others to win Christ, and that we would stand. Once again, this is more proof that this is at the beginning of the tribulation. Because I'm going to ask you this. If there's prayer required for saints, our faith hasn't been made whole yet, has there? Amen, right? So see, this is another sweet encouragement that we have here. That, you know, all of God's people haven't been taken up into heaven yet. There's still prayer that's going on for these saints. Hallelujah. See, when we see Jesus, our faith will be made whole. There'll be no need for faith. It's just, it's done. It's finished. Amen. Amen. He's the author and finisher of our faith. And I thank God for that. So just know it. There's not going to be any, you're not going to be any struggle up there in believing. We see him. Hallelujah. We're going to be like him. And that's going to be wonderful. But this is sweet because prayer is all pleasing to God. And it's the Lord who is the high priest. And he's the one, praise God, that makes our request made. As we make our request made known unto God, he is our advocate. He is our intercessor. And I'll tell you what, faith in Jesus' name, isn't that wonderful? And see, that's the only prayer there is, and that's in Jesus' name. And I thank God for that. But then this golden censer is going to be filled with judgment. And as we read here, it's cast out upon the earth, and judgment is cast out upon the earth. I want to read another precious portion as we jump ahead just a little bit. Revelation 15. Go on over there. And this will give us another light that shows us once again that these seven angels are the cherubim with these vials that are full of wrath. You know, in Revelation, John gets these visions and scenes, and sometimes it'll go all the way through the tribulation. Sometimes it'll show a little part of it. It'll go back a little bit. So again, he's just being flooded with all of this encouragement, and the Lord wants us to know these things. So here we go on over to chapter 15, verses 6 and 7. Let's read there. And here are the seven angels again, right? And the seven angels came out of the temple, having the seven plagues. And what are they? They're clothed in pure and white linen. Remember that word white that was the lampros white? Do you remember that word, lampros? Lampros is only found three times in the Word of God. That glorious Shekinah, transparent, the most glorious of all glory. Okay? First of all, Revelation, 21, which is the morning star, that white of Christ Jesus. Then you get over to Revelation 19 and the bridal gown that spoke of the bride. She's the only other one that has the lampros white because she's the one that's like him. It's that glory. Remember the white of the elders, the white of the innumerable multitude? That wasn't the lampros white. It was a lesser white. It's a wonderful white. It's a wonderful glory. But it's not that sun glory. Praise God. Well, this is the third place that you see the lampros white. So you know that the seven plague, these seven angels clothed in pure and white linen, that's the lampros white. And there's only two that wear that white. And that's Jesus and his bride. The seven angels are his bride. Okay, so here's another evidence. These aren't clues. This is evidence of who this is. And then it goes on to say, and having their breasts girded. That breasts, again, you go back into the Song of Solomon. Isn't that amazing? It's not their breastplate. It, their breasts are girded. This, again, speaks of that wife. Isn't that amazing? It gives her that quality. And girded means that preparedness, that she's fruitful. That's what the Song of Solomon's all about. That Shulamite, his wife, he feasts upon her. She began by the kisses of his mouth, and it ends with him drinking the best wine from her mouth. You with me? Amen. Come on. Amen. Let's get with him. I know we're back to that stunned glory again, but I want you to have sun glory, not stunned glory. Amen. But that's how it happens. You got to get stunned and sunned, and you know, it kind of goes that way. But this is it. This is it. Yea, the deep things of God by the Spirit. This is amazing. And it's just who we are in Christ. This is again, who we are in Christ. This is Christ in me, the hope of glory. Amen? This is the glory of it all. And this is who she is. His joint heir. His companion. This is what completes him. Remember, as it says there in Colossians 1? Paul's gospel completes, fulfills the word. The bride completes, fulfills Jesus. That's not a hard concept. That's what a wife does. They complete each other. Amen? Amen. This is what it is. So, having their breasts girded with golden girdles. And that golden girdles again is glory. And listen to this. And one of the four beasts gave unto the seven angels seven golden vials full of the wrath of God who lives forever and ever. So they're going to pour this out. But I know one might say, well, wait a second. He's seeing four living ones. He's seeing one of the four beasts. And then he's seeing the seven angels. Aren't they two? No, they're all one and the same. He's just seeing them in different glories. Hallelujah. Different encouragements. Just like if you go back to Revelation 4, you're going to hear the Lamb, and then we see Jesus' feet of brass just two verses later. I mean, my goodness. John's just seeing all kinds of things all over the place, isn't he? I love it. John, poor guy, pretty soon he'll be bowing down and worshiping one of these. And the bride gets him up. Straighten up, John. Don't you do this no more. I'm just like you. Redeemed. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? Praise the Lord. I love this. This is ours. Okay. Let's just take a couple minutes and we'll just touch on where we're at right now. where we're at. And as the Lord says, when you see these things coming to pass, look up, look up. Your redemption draws nigh. I mean, our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. It's right here. We're seeing these things come to pass. I can make a lot of comments on what we've just been seeing and a lot of different things these last, you know, year, yesterday, all of these different things. But, you know, praise be to God. Let's listen to the word of the Lord, and it'll just encourage our hearts. So in verse 7, we see the bride judging jointly with Jesus Christ. And here comes this first trumpet. We'll just touch on this, and then we'll call it a night. But the first judgment corresponds exactly with the second seal back there in Revelation chapter 6. After that, Antichrist comes, peace and plenty, da-da-da, then whoosh, the red horse, bam, here comes the war, all right? The second seal, the peace is gone, the war begins. According to Ezekiel 38 and 39, at this time, the nations of Russia, Iran, Libya, Syria begin to attack Israel. And we haven't even gotten to the Armageddon yet. But this happens very quickly. We read of this in Matthew 24. We've read there a little bit before in our study. But in Matthew 24, verses 5 through 8, this is speaking of the end times. It says, "For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many." Okay? So there we go. "And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, and pestilence, and earthquakes in diverse places." And see, God is showing us these things. I mean, my goodness, they had a good quake in Oklahoma. They had one out here in Greeley. He's waking us up, you know. I'm not saying this is this, but it's a type of this. And he'll shake some things up to get your attention. And that's how he does it. But see, brothers and sisters, think of the countries right now that are in Syria. They're there. They are there. And see, God did it in just a moment, didn't he? Like I said, it was always amazing to me, if you remember the Russia-Afghan war that went on for years and years. They called it their Vietnam times 100. They lost so many soldiers. And you would think that Russia could just storm right through Afghanistan and get in there and do whatever they wanted. They couldn't get in and they couldn't get through. And they had to stop. And the people were going crazy and all of these things. Well, not only did they have to not fight to get there, they're invited there now. They've set up their air base there. They have missile defense systems setting over there. I mean, we are a stone's throw away from Israel right there. And this is exactly what's assembling and gathering there right now. And isn't that, again, ironic? All of this war machine and rumor of war, and yet there's going to be peace and plenty that'll be stated and said. There'll be a 7-year peace agreement that'll be signed with Israel, with that war machine right at their back door. Amazing. We're here. We're right at the cusp that this is going to come forth. Now, at that moment, when that peace is taken away, here comes this hail and fire mingled with blood. If you remember back in Exodus 9, the Lord rained hail on Egypt, destroying their crops, destroying all the land and different things. I believe hail and fire, that may be some of that. But it says, but mingled with blood. And I believe this also includes weapons. And many that have been in great battle and these things of incredible weapons, especially of this day, have described it like rain and thunder and hail and all of these destructive things. Well, from this, let me tell you something. There's going to be grass and trees and crops and vegetation that's going to be destroyed. That famine that comes in, yes, the Bible says he's going to scorch the earth. He's going to scorch the earth, I'm sure, with weapons and different things. But if you notice, he's going to just scorch the earth. People ask me, you believe in global warming? I do believe in Bible global warming. He's gonna burn this place up. It's gonna scorch. It's gonna be so hot, the heat. Yeah, it's coming. And he's showing us these things. But remember that this brings us right into the black horse too, which is that famine that we read about back in that sixth chapter. But once again, not only actual plants and crops, this will even be the beginning of the persecution of Christians. They'll be sought and killed. Trees and grass. Amen. The green, the eternal. Also back in Isaiah 40 verse 6, it says that the trees and grass are men and flesh. So this begins a time of much destruction and death. I mean, an incredible amount. And we still haven't gotten to Armageddon yet. So it's going to be horrible very quickly on in the tribulation. That's why when that innumerable multitude comes out, there's going to need to be a tear for many reasons wiped from their eyes. You go to that second trump in verse 8. It says you go from the trees and the grass. Now we got the sea. That means, again, the Gentiles. A great mountain, it speaks of, that goes into the water and destroys a third of the creatures and a third of the ships, the commerce that'll take place. I've heard of people saying, well, that mountain that's burning that comes into the sea is a great meteor that hits the water and destroys these things. Yeah, God could do that. But I believe as we look into the Word of God in the Old Testament, that mountain speaks of a kingdom. There's going to be a kingdom, a country, as we would know. Could it be a Russia? Could it be a China that decides it's time for war? And they unleash. And in that, as that unleashing is poured out through the Gentiles, that again, now we're talking about a third of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died. And the third part of the ships were destroyed. Think about a third of our ships being destroyed. Talk about commerce and goods and once again famine. Remember how we read about, it says that the ones that'll be the kings of the earth, they'll be, in a sense, eating their delicacies. But those that won't be, there'll be a hurt. There'll be a famine. There'll be a longing for things. Brothers and sisters, and we still haven't gotten to Armageddon yet. It's amazing. See, I want you to think about this as we close. We haven't gotten to the fourth trump of the seventh seal. And the fourth trump, which is in chapter 9, that is 250 days before the middle of the tribulation. So all of this is what we're speaking of, is even before the middle of the week. I want to pray for God's precious people. I want to pray by the grace of God for more of an awakening to God's precious people. Especially us who have heard, may we believe. Amen. Amen. And most importantly, for the good pleasure of him and his will. But God forbid any of us or any of God's precious people. Because as it says there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, we weren't appointed unto that wrath. That's not what we were made to go into. But it would be our choice, would it not? Yeah, it would. The choice of ignoring this, the choice of, again, I have one thing against you. You left your first love. Amen. Amen. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take your crown. Praise God. Let's stand and be dismissed.